Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect and sponsored by Research on Investment. I'm Carla Soans, and I have a treat for you today. We have on the podcast Rod Miller, who's currently the CEO at Invest Puerto Rico, but he's going to talk about his journey that led him to Puerto Rico, and I promise you're not going to want to miss his story and what leadership insights he shares on the podcast today. I think he is an incredible economic developer, an incredible leader, and simply a great human, and what he shares, I promise, will cause you to reflect a little bit on your own leadership journey. So I look forward to hearing your feedback after you listen to Rod Miller. Hey, everyone. Welcome to America's Jobs Team, powered by Consultant Connect. I am Carla Soans, and I am delighted about today's interview. I've been waiting for this one for a while because one of the people that I followed and admired in this business, who now is sitting in a beautiful place that I wish that I was sitting in, Puerto Rico. So Roderick Miller is here with us today, and I am planning on pinging him with questions, putting him on the spot, and helping to lift up his leadership journey. So Rod, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so excited for you to be here. And I just want to kick things off. I know you've been in Puerto Rico for a little while, but for individuals that listen that may not know you or know your background, I would love for you to just give a brief, like, how did you get into economic development? And certainly, how did Puerto Rico end up being where you call home?
Yeah, it's wild. I've been in economic development now about 20 years, and I started my career in management consulting. And when I initially started in management consulting, it was great, exciting work. But after a couple of years in it, I really wanted something that fed my soul. And so as a young professional, I moved to Arizona with no job and basically just a dream. I wanted to be somewhere warm and really started seeing these jobs for economic development. Didn't really know what it was, and it seemed like an exciting thing. So I applied and ended up going to work with the city of Glendale in Arizona for about a year, putting together, you know, deals for stadiums and things like that. And then ended up with the regional group, Greater Phoenix Economic Council, and was there for over 5 years. And that really, by the time I was finished working there, I had really been bitten by the economic development bug. And then moved to Louisiana, where I ultimately ended up being the president of New Orleans Business Alliance a few years after Hurricane Katrina, to set up that organization and really lead the city's economic development efforts. And New Orleans was amazing. And after 4 years in New Orleans, I went to Detroit and led the economic development efforts there through the bankruptcy and post-bankruptcy with the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation. And about a year ago, I got the call about the opportunity here in Puerto Rico, and have been here for the last year, and it's been an amazing journey.
So Rod, it strikes me that, you know, you fell in love with economic development out in Phoenix. And what's exciting about that is we're actually, our annual conference is going to be in Phoenix this year. A group of regional partners, including GPEC, all brought it out to Phoenix. So we're excited to go there. But I'm curious for you, you know, when you landed in Louisiana, it was post Hurricane Katrina, and really leading a community on a comeback, you know, with a comeback story. And then you went to Detroit and you were faced with a lot of the very different circumstances around why there were economic challenges, but certainly a comeback story to be told. And you found yourself leading an organization and a community around that. And now you're in Puerto Rico with a comeback story of its own. What personal quality do you think keeps attracting those that are hiring economic developers to pick you as kind of the comeback kid, if you call it that?
Yeah, I love it. I think what it is that I have a hope and I have an optimism that a lot of the communities that have traditionally not been the first places of choice, that they have a distinct value that is not in other communities. And if we're able to harness that untapped potential and actually put the right kind of resources around it, these are the communities that are actually best positioned to lead, as you know, as the global economy transitions to something new and something fresh. Other markets I find are markets that they've done it all and everything works a certain way, But we're in the middle of a major global shift. And I think the ones that are going to best be able to pivot are some of the ones that aren't kind of on in a space where they're comfortable right now, because a transition requires and a shift requires doing some things differently. And I find that these are the communities that are most apt to take those risks and grow in those ways.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, leading in a time of change and, you know, with that hope for the future and with a lot of, you know, risk at the helm of, you know, major decisions is really exciting. I'm curious for you, as you've built a team around you, as you've made these shifts from community, you know, to community, how do you find individuals? And is there certain individuals that you're looking for that can help you carry that torch? Like, what, you know, as you're harnessing the potential in other young up and coming economic developers or young professionals, what are you looking for and how are you keeping them engaged in the economic development field?
Well, this is an exciting field. So there are a few things that I think are essential. One is that they actually have to believe that they can make a difference. As we get older, and it happens, you live and you get older, you tend to become more pessimistic. And so one of the things that I look for are people that are optimistic and that believe that their actual work can actually contribute to a community. Many people don't have that belief that one person can make a difference. But if you're going to do this kind of work, you actually need to do it if you're going to do it this kind of work and in this kind of context. The second thing that I would say is that I look for people who are intellectually curious. The reality is the best economic developers understand that this is an interdisciplinary practice. So whether it's things such as, you know, understanding real estate, understanding the importance of talent, understanding how to build relationships and ecosystem building, you need people that want to not just learn a little part of the industry, but really want to be comprehensive and thoughtful economic developer.
That's what's so exciting about the field to me.
It's an amazing field. And I think the last thing is, you know, I would say that to really be successful in this field is not only that you have to be, you know, smart, driven, optimistic, but you have to work hard and you have to have integrity. So if people think that they're going to come and work, you know, a normal work day and that's going to be the rule of thumb, they probably won't be as successful as they could be. You got to work long, hard hours, and your integrity has to be without question.
So if you had to go back, and I know you've kind of talked a little bit about this already, but I'm curious to take it to a more personal level. If you had to go back and give yourself some advice, you know, maybe 10 years ago, what advice would you give yourself about either your career, about how you manage your own leadership journey? What advice would you look back and say, like, man, if I would have known I would be here now, I would have told myself this?
I think one of the biggest things that I would have told myself, which, you know, I feel like I've done a decent job, but taking risk, it's worth it. But there will be highs and there will be lows. I mean, I think people tend to see, you know, the positions that you're in or the accomplishments, and everyone thinks that that's the journey. But the reality is that there are some extraordinarily high points and there are some extraordinarily low points. And it's okay. And so knowing that those high points and low points are what the low points are what make the high points just that much sweeter.
So talking about those low points, and I know this isn't always our favorite thing to talk about, but I think there's a lot as leaders that we can learn from hearing other great leaders talk about tough moments. Is there a tough lesson that you've encountered that you really learned something from that you think other people could learn from hearing about your tough knot?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've had a few. I mean, on the personal side, I went through a divorce, you know, about 10 years ago. And the reality is that life is ups and downs. So on the professional side, while the professional side was going wonderful, when I had just gotten the CEO job in New Orleans, I was also starting a very painful divorce. And the reality is, you know, you have to find ways to navigate all of that and continue to be successful professionally. And so the ability to be able to, the ability to be human and recognize that you're not the first one that has had personal challenges. I mean, my mother died about 5 or 6 years ago. You're not the first one that has had personal challenges and you won't be the last. And so that it's okay to be human and to find others, you know, professionally around you that can actually help support you professionally and personally as you go through those things. Being vulnerable and being able to say, you know what, I you know, I'm going through a rough time right now, but I'm committed to this work and I might need a little bit more support than I would normally need is okay. And I think many times professionals think that, you know, they have to be a robot at work and not acknowledge that they're going through a rough personal time. And I think at the end of the day, when you're committed professional and you acknowledge that, people understand and they find ways to be supportive.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, such great advice. And me and Faye are both sitting here like nodding our head like, yeah. Because I think it is so true, but we see so many leaders that feel like they need to present this package of perfection and like they quote unquote have it all together as if life doesn't happen at their house. And so I think about even my last year, which I mean, you know, I had twins, I'm having another baby. I mean, life is happening all around us. And it is incredible when you're just vulnerable and you're authentic that people come around you and rally and support and trust that you are going to be a professional through it all and that you are committed to the cause and the journey and the team, but that the team may need a shift for a while to help you and you're going to be willing to help them when it's their turn. So I think that's incredible advice.
It's really, really powerful because what I found is that my people, I don't beat my people up. I trust them, I lean on them, and I push them. But what I've also found is because I'm able to be vulnerable in the ways that I am, and because I'm able to be honest in the ways that I am, my folks work really, really hard for me. And I think they work harder for me because they see that I'm a human and that I have the same challenges that they have in life.
Yeah, I love it. So we're going to switch gears for a second and we're going to put you on the spot with some rapid fire. So we'll do a couple warm-ups and then I'm really going to start throwing them at you and you just can say what's top of mind. And if there's a funny story as to why, you can tell that or we'll just keep moving. You can just give the one word answer, but they're meant to be just like really short, quick, lively questions.
Let's do it.
Favorite color?
Green.
Favorite place to vacation?
Any beach.
First car?
A Dodge Laser, 1985.
Tacos or pizza?
Pizza.
What is your family's favorite food?
Tacos.
So you like pizza, everybody else likes tacos. How about communicating with you, text or call?
Text.
Last book you read?
We Were 8 Years in Power.
What about your guilty pleasure TV show?
Grace and Frankie.
Oh, nice. I like that one too. Digital or print news?
Print.
Movie you could watch over and over and over again?
Coming to America.
Oh my gosh. We would get along really great. Best concert you've ever seen?
Jill Scott.
Okay. So now on a deeper level, we've had a little fun. Now I'm going to put you really on the spot and ask you, what recharges and renews you? So we talked about guilty pleasure TV shows and things that you read, but when you really think about, you know, how do you intentionally renew yourself and kind of re-energize, what are your go-to ways to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and that you're coming to work renewed and not burned out?
Working out is definitely one. I like the way my body feels when it responds to me the way, you know, when I say move this way and it actually does it. And as you get older, it just doesn't do that as much. So working out, that's definitely one. The other one that I would say is music. I love music. I play 13 instruments, my main one being the piano. So if I can, you know, go and lock myself in a room and play piano for all day, I would. So those are definitely things that recharge and renew me.
Okay, so now I'm curious about the other instruments. So I'm going to ask you to say the top three. So number one is piano, but what's two and three?
You know, number two would be percussion. I can play pretty much any percussion. I play the set. The drum set, I play the timpani, all of that stuff. And number three would be low brass. I actually played the baritone in symphonic band.
Awesome. Okay. And last question for the podcast today. What do you want to be remembered for when this is all said and done and you've retired and you're not in economic development anymore? What do you want people to remember you for?
I want to be remembered as a guy who believed in communities and that believed that they're in the indomitable human spirit and that really dedicated my life and my career to making communities that many others had given up on making them better.
You know, Rod, I think that this was a great episode. And I love the fact that what you want to be remembered for is what I think we all already think of you as, which is just somebody who really embodies not only community, but just humanity and that human spirit, as you said. So I am so thankful that you could be on the podcast today, all the way from Puerto Rico. And I hope that we'll get to see you sometime soon. I know we don't get to see each other on event circuits as much anymore, but I hope we get to see you sometime soon in the future.
Well, maybe we'll connect in Phoenix. Thanks so much.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Rod.
Hey, so we just got back from Economics and we had so many communities that were asking, how do we host Economics? Well, there's certainly a process that goes into that, but there's other ways that you can get site consultants into your community, and that is by way of our regional summits. And they have become very popular. We were able to do about a dozen of those in 2019, and we're almost full for this year, but we still have a couple of slots open. So it is an opportunity for you to bring in 5 to 6 great site consultants to meet with your team, meet with your regional partners, maybe elected officials, community CEOs, and really help tell that story. I think what a lot of consultants have said to us in the past that, you know, their perceptions might be off on your community just because they haven't been there in a while. So this is an opportunity for you to bring in some really great active site consultants that are working projects in industries that you're focused on, and we'll help you through all that. But it's a great opportunity to, you know, get some people on the ground and help retell that community story and, you know, how maybe your community has changed in the last 5 years. So please feel free to reach out, email me, Nick, N-I-C-K, at consultantconnect.org. And I'd love to talk about bringing some consultants to your community.
Hey everyone, on today's 60 Seconds with a Site Consultant, we will be hearing from Brian Farlow. You spent a significant portion of your career working as an economic developer, and now you're kind of sitting in the role of a site consultant. What do you wish economic developers knew about the day-to-day role of a site consultant?
One of the things is that, you know, we don't have daily contact with clients, and, you know, it's kind of up and down. So we may be hot and heavy for a couple months going through sites and everything. And then once that information gets to their board or their decision makers, it could take a lot of time. And once we submit all of our information to our clients and it goes to that decision process, there's only so much we can do to speed that up. And sometimes, as most folks have experienced at some point, is you do all this work for 3 to 4 months, it's hot and heavy, and then all of a sudden it just goes dark for 3 to 6 months or longer. And then they just magically come back and say, okay, we're ready to go. I mean, that's part of it. And there's not a whole lot we can do to affect that kind of timeline.
Hey, Steve, how does AI-powered business intelligence platform like Gazelle AI differ from one that has no AI capabilities?
We get asked that question all the time, Nick. While just about every database can generate lists of companies based on revenues, employment, and company location, only Gazelle AI sorts companies based on their propensity to grow. This is critical to investment attraction professionals looking to attract expanding companies.
Well, that's really interesting, Steve. If anyone would like more information on Gazelle AI, please head over to www.gazelle.ai, or you can email Steve at sjast, S-J-A-S-T, at gazelle.ai.
Hey, everyone. That was a great conversation with Rod. I hope that you walked away as inspired and as encouraged as I did. We're looking forward to tuning in again next week for another episode highlighting the journey of another fellow economic development champion. If you have ideas on who could be on the podcast, who we should be featuring on the podcast, please let us know. We're always looking for feedback, and we look forward to connecting with you again next week.